Everyone, it is now September and we're moving closer to the equinox, the day when the nights and the days are equal all over the world. I think that's a wonderful time when the mid-tones are shared by everybody. The mid-times are shared and are equal by everyone. It's a time when we really should be thinking peace. And it's a shame that, unfortunately, in this world, there are many words of war going on right now. And we will address some aspects of our blessing to more peace in the world, or if there needs to be a conflict, to restrain it to carefully targeted purposes that do not accelerate political agendas or any other agendas of exploitation for the innocent. And so we hold thoughts of peace, of equanimity, of balance in our hearts, and we celebrate these days for the beauty that they bring us. Not only the beauty of nature, for those of us in the northern hemisphere, we're enjoying the closure of summer. For those in the southern hemisphere, they're enjoying the open door of approaching spring. And either way, it's lovely. It's lovely, and we feel our planet and our mother terrain all in growth and resolution as she needs to be. So we offer her our blessing as well. Now, it's been a couple of weeks since I have taken calls, partly because I was gone, and then there was some important, continuations from things that had been said before, and I wanted to gain some completion on that. Today would be a wonderful time to invite commenters and questioners onto the line. Remember, all you have to do is press *6 on your telephone and then 1, and I will open your line for you so that you can let us know how great you're doing, or if you have a question about anything that has come up for you from the blessings, or to respond to comments that have been made in the past. So it's your time, and I'd like to always start our calls with comments from our congregation as much as possible so that my responses can lead into the blessing. So now as I see some of you trying to come on because you're lining up into the caller info, so I hope there's no problem. It is *6, then press 1. And I just want to express my gratitude for all the support we have been given by everyone in the last few weeks as I needed to make my pilgrimage home and take my art altogether into Texas for storage. Because, as you know, we are pending a move. We don't know exactly when it will be or exactly where. We are looking at a number of places, but almost definitely we're going back to Texas. And I can make at least that much of an announcement, and it will be this fall. So the rest is yet to be determined. And I would actually like to follow up on, some of the things we've talked about before, since I'm not getting anyone, no one seems to want to talk.
Glenda?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, it just unmuted me. It didn't prompt for the 1, so everyone who's signed in and lit up, they're unmuted.
Okay. There was one more button I needed to press. Here we go. Okay, just press 1 and you should be on. There you are. Hi, Desmond. Just a minute. Hi, Desmond.
Hi, Glenda. I had a really interesting conversation with a blessing giver, and I was visualizing Yeshua's doing the blessing with me last night, and you. And it was like, Yeshua was so amazing, and you're so amazing. But when it comes to visualizing Yeshua's physical body doing the blessing and the physical aspect of Yeshua, like, uh-huh. It's so detailed, and it's I just can't fathom, and not many people can fathom, like, what Yeshua's physical presence is like. And you've seen Yeshua one day that you woke up in the morning, and maybe others. Could you explain to us what Yeshua's, like, measure and perfect physical form is like?
Well, I painted it.
Right.
It's never changed. Do you mean other aspects of his physical form, like the energy, or, I mean, what are you referring to?
Yeah, I'm kind of referring to, like, I was trying to envision him doing the movements of the blessing, and I had such a hard time visualizing it, and part of it seemed like I was, like, a conductor of an orchestra, and I love playing classical music, and Yeshua's like the master of the most beautiful thing, and I, just to visualize so much beauty coming from Yeshua and doing his movements in his physical form, I had a hard time visualizing the beauty of his movements.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, can you wait for your answer? Because actually answering that is encompassed by the message I wanted to give today.
Oh, okay.
And I'd like to not be redundant because we've got so little time, but I'm going to touch on that, and I think you'll be satisfied with what I say.
Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Desmond. And we have a wireless caller from 760.
Hi, Glenda. This is Kathy in San Diego.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi. I wanted to tell you that I saw one of your quotes on Twitter again the other day. You are being quoted on Twitter. And I wanted to ask you, please, will we have equinox again this season?
Yes, we will. I am just in the process of making it right now, and I promise you, go ahead and put it online. It's beautiful. Yes, I agree. All the preparations that I had going into my trip and then coming back, it distracted me from some of my standard work, but I want all of you to know that the work I do for Yeshua, the work I do for Spiritus, will never be abandoned or put into a secondary mode, ever. This is my work. This is my love. Occasionally, I have to take care of some personal aspects of life, as we all do. And that happened to be one of my needs at the moment, as will happen when we move. So, thank you for everyone for your patience on allowing me to do what I needed to do at this point in my life. And yes, I am mixing equinox tonight. And to answer other questions that have been coming in, the next webinar has not been abandoned. It is actually going to be more powerful than I even thought it would be. And I'm working on that presentation later this afternoon as well. So you're going to get more news on it, and it's going to be fun, fabulous, and extremely life-changing. It will, as they all have been, but this is going to get down to the nitty-gritty of how you make life work. So look for that, and I apologize for my recess, but, you know, I don't think I have taken a vacation in 20 years. So it was a little time I took care of some things for Larry and us and our future. So thanks for that. Did you have anything else you wanted to add or ask?
I just love equinox so much. I mean, Christ, Sun, and equinox are my favorites. So thank you, dear. Thank you very, very much. And thank you.
You are so welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And we have Chris Dunn online. Hi, Chris. You're on.
Sorry, Glenda, my phone was muted. If your idea of a vacation is taking paintings across New Mexico into Texas, that's a heck of a vacation. I know you guys, you and Dale went on down to the coast, so that must have been nice. Man, I wanted to say about what you talked about last week and how there's been some carryover effect, or you're going to talk more about it. But,
well, let me know what part you want to know, and I'll talk about it.
Well, basically, it was just the being in tune with, you know, your vehicle, which I'm in tune with my truck. I'm an over-the-road truck driver, so
sure.
And it really made a lot of sense, and it just really helped spread that out, you know, to being in tune with people and where they're at in their lives, being in tune with nature, and it kind of just augmented that. And I just wonder almost that that's where you're going with the what matters most, you know. It's just what are you truly in tune with? What is where
well, is you know, that will be part of the seminar. I think that there's much more to say about that even in our blessing calls, but I've noticed that it's important to space out some of these really potent pieces of information that Yeshua tells me to give you, because a lot of them you have to assimilate and percolate and work with for a little while, and then you say, oh, yeah, that's what he meant. And giving you a little space on these. But every subject we have brought up in the last couple of months is to be continued. And I want to create just a little space today, first, to talking with as many of you as I need to just bring the community into this growth. But it looks like we're getting to the point where if I'm going to say something, I better say it soon. So I still have the Chris, thank you so much for assisting us in that event. And there were definite moments of vacation and healing and joy and discovery and just freedom in the whole thing. And I could not have done it by myself.
Perfect.
It was a wonderful, wonderful gift, and everyone who participated in it from all sides of the event, bless you. Bless you. Thank you. And we move forward today. Now, yes, when I was talking about me and my vehicle, and I called her my little pony. And I had the feeling of back in the days when I would ride horses, and my horse and I were of such a symbiotic unity when I was riding that not only did I not have to use the bit, rarely did I have to use the bit, I would just touch her neck slightly with the reins or just lean my body, but many times she would anticipate my thought just in the shifting of my weight. And that's how in tune we were. And I was in tune with her because I would have a sense for when she might have struck a stone or something, and I would slow her down to make sure that that wasn't compounded into a strain on her ankle. And so we were a unit of one as two beings. And that was possible partly because she was my buddy. We were friends, and we had selected her as, and she had selected me as companions from the field of animated life. It could be a cat, a dog, a horse, and I know this is the way my mother felt about her garden. She was creating an external portrait of herself. And this is one of the reasons I felt so compelled to paint the garden series, because actually it's a portrait of my mother extended into nature. Everything that's painted there was chosen by her and reciprocated by these natural forces that loved being in communion with her. You see, it all gets back to communion, not just talking to something. We talk too much. We yap too much. We chit-chat and mouth off too much. Not only bad things, but just silly, inane, pointless things to fill the air with noise. And that is not communion. What I mentioned last time was really the beginning stage of what I want to talk to you more about in the coming weeks, and that is communion. And actually, the whole topic of communion is the real heart of the power of prayer. It's the real heart of the power of the blessing. But in order to be in communion with nature, communion with God and the Holy Spirit, and the outer ramifications of our life, it also has to begin with being in communion with ourselves. And so often we segregate ourselves into parts. We think that our mind is the brilliant part of ourselves, or sometimes the stupid part, depending on whatever our judgments happen to be. We think of our heart as being our emotional center. And sometimes when we can't control our emotions, when our emotions are more than we can deal with, we actually separate from our heart. There are a lot of people who have separated from their heart because they can't deal with their emotions, and they think the heart is the center of their emotions. They don't realize it's the sacred origin of their union, body, heart, and soul. Emotions are just one factor. Then there are people who segregate from their body for various reasons, mostly mortality. They think, oh, well, this is just a piece of flotsam in the air. It came, it'll go back to dust, and it usually lets me down. I get tired at the end of the day. I get headaches. I'm not as young as I used to be, never was as good looking as I wanted to be, et cetera. I'm overweight, et cetera, et cetera. People are constantly derogating their body. And they don't realize that actually, until you can be in communion, bring all the parts of yourself into communion, you don't have a chance communing with the larger, shall we say, circles of life around you. If you looked at all of life, you would see there are many circles of life. There, you yourself represent a ring of light that nurtures and puts together all the parts of your being into one glowing circle. When you form close, intimate relationships, then you form a larger circle that includes another person. Then you have children. Your children are included in that close circle, but it's a bigger circle because your children bring energy of a new generation and their future, which will take the circle out bigger and bigger. Then most of the time, if a person is spiritually, physically, and emotionally healthy, it's easy to build those smaller outer rings of life. But the difficulty starts coming in when you get to the career level. How do you make a living? And who do you work with and who do you work for? Because of the almighty dollar and the necessity of entering it into the equation too soon. Okay, and I will touch on that in what matters most. Yes, money does matter in today's world, but when we bring it in too soon into our circle of intimacy and allow it to determine how our life circles grow, that's where money begins to be the problem, and that's what Yeshua referred to as the love of money. Bringing it in too close, too soon, making it too relevant to the intimate choices we need to make about the extending circles of our life. It's really important when we go to choose our life goals, our career, how we work, what we work for, that they're harmonious with our purposes in life. And sure, we're not going to get along with everybody. Some people we like more than others. That's just the human race right now. But if you're in your state of purpose, if you love your work, if you're doing the next right thing in your life, you can reduce the stress in your life by about 75%. And that's the critical stage for most people, because it impairs where you live, what hours you get up, what time you have left off to spend with your family or your closest loved ones, your friends. And it even has an impact upon your spiritual beliefs, because there's an amazing amount of judgment that occurs in these outer rings with people of, oh, you don't believe as I do. Oh, I better rethink whether I've even got anything in common with you. Lots and lots of judgments begin to happen. And knowing how to handle that makes all the difference in getting the next circle of life to really become symbiotic with you. Now, what I mean by symbiotic, it's very simple. I used to own a vineyard, and one of the first things I was told is don't scrape the aphids off. The vineyard gives them life, and they protect the vineyard. They protect the vine from yeast, from overproductions of yeast. That's what symbiosis is. Two life forms serve one another as if they were one. And you can see this all through nature. We, to some degree, as we have become recipients of a rather artificial lifestyle, we have forgotten the importance of symbiosis. And we've also encountered so many conflicts with people and forces that don't support us that we've backed off from symbiosis. But recreating that from the inside out is a very big deal. And it gets back. Now let's go back to the inner circle of who you are. Body, heart, mind, soul, all parts of you. And how this affects the way you address life and the way you pray. One of the reasons, actually the main reason, Yeshua was reluctant to tell his apostles how to pray is he didn't want to just, for them to just hear words and then mouth the words. He actually made comments about just mouthing words. Paul repeated this in one of his great soliloquies. You know, if you just mouth the words, you know, it's like sounding brass. Mouthing the words won't cut it. And even being just in your spiritual side isn't enough. You see, the Yeshua, I wouldn't say he judged, but he kind of made less importance of the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were the Jews who considered themselves the holy of the holies among the people, the ones who perfected the law and the prophets and guarded the temples and were oh so precious in their spiritual righteousness. And I know you've met a lot of people who are equivalent to Pharisees today. They're the first ones that will run to the Bible and quote something to tell you why you should or shouldn't do something. And you look at them and you wonder if they've ever had a genuine communion with God. Well, Yeshua, he lowered the priority. He didn't judge them. He just let them be who they were. But he let it be seen in his opinion that what they had accomplished wasn't very much. And at the same time, he would visit the poor. He would visit the lame. He would visit even the lepers. And almost all of his miracles were directed toward refurbishing the body and bringing it back into the circle of wholeness of the whole being. And in his own words that were relevant to those days and times, he told them not to think through everything that they were hearing. Don't think it through. So he diminished the mind. He would speak in parables because you can't think through a parable. You listen to it and you respond to it. He told them to find their heart, but not in the kingdom of heaven. But it's not out there. It's in here. And the kingdom of heaven is where it all comes together. So now, let's talk about that in terms of the blessing. And why is the blessing an energetic flow? And why do the blessing givers have physical movements? First of all, you have to acknowledge that probably the thing about you that is most similar to every other human being is your DNA. Yeah. It's shocking, isn't it? You start disconnecting from your body, and you start disconnecting from the rest of humanity. Have you ever wondered why extremely competitively intellectual people become kind of detached and private from the human race? People, some of the most compassionate people I know are working class people, people who use their bodies. Another thing, we all breathe the same air. And the energy that has been uniquely delegated to the human race, we hold in common with every other human being. And it is the energy most definitely and clearly touched by the Holy Spirit. Now let's look about prayer. Prayer, in most cultures, in most practices, contain some form of physical gesture. For example, get bowing on your knees. That is actually a gesture of surrender. It's actually not a gesture of worship. You may think that it comes from an ancient tradition where humans sublimate themselves completely to the divine, that is the austere and total authority over their life, as a slave would bow before a master. That is not the meaning of bowing. Never has been. The meaning is that you bring your body into a state of surrender. And in so doing, what you're doing is you're reining in your emotions into a state of surrender. Now, the bowing of the head is a gesture of reverence. You have, with the mouth pointed down, you don't chit-chat. You never chit-chat from that angle. It's a sign that you are communicating from the center of your being. Your face is pointed toward your heart, and your head is open toward the receiving of messages of God. And these physical gestures are attributes of communion. Now, according to what Desmond asked, he said, well, would Yeshua be in these poses or any other, let's say the poses of the blessing? As I have told our blessing givers many times, once you feel you have perfectly included your body into the act of blessing or prayer, these gestures are no longer necessary. And the same is true for focusing upon your heart. When you have literally become your heart, living and walking on this earth, you no longer need to cast your attention upon it. When you have put your mind into a proper priority in your life, where it serves you, it ennobles you, and it solves your problems, records your life, and gives valuable answers to you, you no longer have to go through the gesture of setting it aside. What I am conditioning you to do is to grow. When I tell you to set your mind aside now, I don't mean that literally so much as just momentarily take it off the top shelf. It's not your boss. When I tell you to focus on your heart, I'm really directing your attention to the place where body, mind, heart, soul, and everything about you is united. It's the unity that matters. And then I ask you to go into prayer after that. And if you remember, I ask you to pray from your heart in whatever way prayer is comfortable for you. And that doesn't mean reciting the Bible or reciting prayers you've learned or talking or anything that you have externally thought was the best prayer. The best prayer is being in communion with God. And the way the blessing is delivered is that it accelerates your communion with God. And through communion with God, all of your questions are answered. And I think you will find as you grow that the answers are not nearly as important as the questions. All of life is actually a continuing question. And if we do it well, if we proceed well, and this is something that will be in the next course, you will find that the clarification and elucidation of questions is what brings your answers and what carries you to the next level of fulfillment and enlightenment. So don't think that because you have questions, you're on the wrong track, and that if you only had all the answers, you knew God loved you. God actually loves you so much that he guides you into forming better, more productive questions. Every great discovery, whether it's sailing across the seas and finding a new continent, finding a new medicine, finding a new atom, finding out the true path of the earth around the sun, it always began with what if. It always began with questions that led to better questions and better questions, and the questions never end. And if you think you've been abandoned because you have to ask questions, nobody ever told you correctly how to live this pathway of life. And we are going to open that fountainhead of realization for you in our next seminar. So, we need to move on with our blessing today, and I would like for the blessing givers to join me, those, unless you need to sit and receive a blessing, and I know from time to time we all need to do that. So, I would like you to be in your heart, where all parts of your being are in unity, and pray the prayer that expresses the questions you have for life, that expresses your love of God, your love of life, your love of yourself and everyone in your life. Pray a prayer of love and be ready to receive the love of God. And I will pray to Yeshua. Then we will begin the energetic conveyance. Dear Yeshua, thank you for being with us always and showing us that our relationship even with God is not complete until God enters our life as a physical being, and that you came to show us how God is willing to be in our midst, that we may see ourselves as God prepared, God designed, and God led, that we may choose for ourselves those ideas, goals, and attainments, and directions, relationships, and opportunities in life that we know are led by God. We pray that we look for the presence of God in all things and know that God is with us through all things. Amen. Your conveyance of blessing is complete now, and I would like you to go rest and assimilate for at least 7 minutes and just receive without thinking or verbalizing or going over any list for the day. Just be, relax, love, and receive, knowing that you are very loved. So, bye-bye for now, and love from me, too. I hope to see you next week.